All right, we're going to continue with today's media availabilities here at Kansas Speedway. We have now been joined by Ryan Blaney, driver of the number 12 Team Penske Ford. Ryan, how are you feeling going into this weekend?
Yeah, good. It's nice to be here. Good weather. And see what we have here in a short while. So it's a big telltale sign here in a couple hours.
All right. If you have a question for Ryan, please raise your hand and we will work on getting a mic to you. We will start with Zach and then Jeff and then Caleb.
Zach Sterniello, NASCAR.com. Ryan, coming into Kansas, this place has gotten a good reputation for the quality of racing it's produced over the last couple of years. From a driver's perspective, what is it about this place that allows you guys to put on the show that you guys have put on lately?
Yeah, it's wide. That always helps. And honestly, I think even like the last couple of years here in particular, at least that I think, is that it's actually gotten a little bit more raceable down towards the bottom of the racetrack. It kind of went through a time there where it was like you got to be glued to the fence to be any fast. But now it almost feels like it can wear that top out and over rubber it easier. And you see guys kind of be able to shade back down to the middle. And I actually was able to make the bottom of 3 and 4 work really well here in the fall, late into a run. So I think it's getting to this weird point right now with the asphalt and just... I'm a believer in, like, same as the bottom lane, and that's why things move up. It just wears it out. It's kind of the same as the top. It just wears it back down. So I think this place is just getting to a really good spot. I think this car does a really good job on mile and a half where it's wide like this. So, it's a really raceable place, and we love coming here. Fans always like the good shows that we put on. And, it's wider than it's ever been, so that part's always nice.
We'll come up front to Jeff.
Obviously, you have Team Penske teammates in the Indy 500, but obviously Larson's going there as well. So from a NASCAR standpoint, you know, do you think that you and the drivers, you know, actively root for him to do well? Like, he's representing you guys. Do you not care how he does and just are curious to watch? How do you view his involvement in it?
I root for him to run fourth after the, you know, Joseph and Scotty and Will. I tune in, you know, all I can to that stuff in general, because I like, you know, IndyCar racing and watching it. And obviously I root for a lot of guys in that thing. And, like watching his kind of process of how he did it, I thought it was really cool last year to keep up with it. And, he did a really good job there last year until he sped on pit road. And I think that with that experience, you know, of having a race under his belt there, kind of understanding it, I think he's going to be even better this year. So I'm sure he'll be in contention for sure. But yeah, I mean, just Penske loyalty. I want him to run fourth, but it is good because you do root for him. He's like, yeah, that guy's representing, you know, us and the NASCAR side, and no better guy to go do it. So.
Do you think it makes people, like, when people, he goes there and he's fast, does that make people look at NASCAR drivers differently? Like, okay.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it kind of depends how everyone wants to look at it. I know he got grief for wrecking the other week in practice, but it's like, how many other guys have gone over there or regulars that have wrecked in practice? It's just part of the deal, you know? So, that people look at it that way. At least I hope they do. But I mean, it's just typical people. When things go poorly, they like to shit on that person. When things go good, they don't really give it any second thought, you know? So it's just kind of the way of the world. I think him having a good run, I'm rooting for him. And it definitely can't hurt our reputation, you know, if he can go represent us.
Let's go to Lee and then Caleb.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. What are your thoughts on the playoff format, the all-star format?
What part? The track promoter caution?
Any of it, I mean.
I like it. I mean, I like how you keep pit crews involved, you know, doing the competition there. I think those guys really enjoy it. They love that. You know, they compete every weekend, you know, multiple times, but really being on that stage, I think, is good for them. I was saying that, there's going to be a lot of gifts sent to Marcus, I think, the next couple, you know, a lot of presents, bottles of wine or just presents for him and his family here sent over the last month or so since they announced that. He's going to have more friends than he's ever had, that's for sure. And, but no, I mean, hey, it is what it is. We race to the format, and I think it's obviously big for Wilkesboro for us to go back there. People in that area really loved us being back there. I loved being back there. I'm happy we're going there for the third year. now. And I think I put on a good show last year. So hopefully that place with some races on it can kind of, it'll split the tire strategy up a little bit more. Last year, the tire strategy didn't really come into play too much. I know, like, heck, me and Joey, and I think the 11 stayed out on the reds, for one, kind of full cycle, and we were able to stay up there. So, but yeah, the format's fine with me. You can always change stuff up, but I don't really have, any hard opinion on what I would change up about it or anything like that.
And Team Penske really got the ball rolling at North Wilkesboro last year, and a lot had to do with the tests that Joey and Paul did ahead of that. But it seems Team Penske is like a month ahead of where you guys just really took off last year with Cindric, you almost winning at Gateway, then Cindric did, and then you winning at Iowa. Is there anything that you can point to as to why the organization is having such success right now?
Yeah, I think it all comes down to people. We have a great group of people, and I think last year, we had the new nose with the Ford, and it took everybody a little bit to kind of get rolling on what it liked and what it needed. That's a big change from what we had in 23, and I think this year, we really didn't have any changes to the car, so we were just kind of ahead of the game, or just up to speed faster, what we figured out in the summer last year that led, to the end, and we were able to really just kind of refine that, what was working. So. It's been nice to have really fast cars this year. Hopefully we can get in victory lane soon. I've been really happy with how we've been performing. It's just hasn't really worked out for us. But, I think it's just we learned a lot last year when it was time, and then we were just able to build off of that. We didn't have to kind of rebuild again like we did the start of 24 with the slow start to the season. So it's nice to have a bunch of speed early.
Caleb, Steve, and then Bob, please.
Caleb Bessel, SpeedwayDigest.com. Ryan, if you exclude Texas, the previous four races before that were quote-unquote bad races, having just their issues with the next-gen car. How much do drivers pay attention to criticism from the fans or other drivers about this car and the type of racing it does?
What made them bad races? I see this online, and I don't know why they were bad. Well, the guy kicked ass all of the race. They did that all the time back when people praised it. I look at Darlington. That was a great race. Yeah, 24 led a lot of laps, but it was really dicey. Texas, you had a lot of comers and goers. You had a different group of people at the end of the race than what were there at the front of the race. I really don't see why, this last handful of races has gotten a bad rap, from my viewpoint, and it's different than everyone else's viewpoint because I'm sitting behind the wheel of the thing. There's exciting moments and there's battles going on all over the place. And yeah, sometimes it's kind of, you get in difficult situations where I wish the car was a little bit better to where you could be more, maneuverable in traffic. That's just the way it is. So I really don't think they've been bad races. Just because someone goes and leads 400 laps doesn't make it a bad race. There's plenty of other stuff going on through the field that make it good races. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, there's obviously things in the car I wish were a little bit better as far as raceability, but this thing is what it's been the last few years, and we've been trying our best to try to get it the best that we can as far as racing people. But I really don't think they deserve to be called bad races at all.
With that said, would you consider coming to Kansas as a breath of fresh air, considering the racing that we have seen the past couple of years?
No. No, I mean, it's just another weekend, another Kansas. Track's going to be wide. You'll still have cars stuck behind each other or on the top. So if you guys see that, I want you to say it's a bad race. If you have a line of cars running the top, just because we're running the top doesn't make it racy. So I don't know. I don't think it's a breath of fresh air for me at all. I don't look at them that way. I just, each racetrack is its own challenge, and you try to figure out challenges better than everybody else.
Go ahead.
Hey, Ryan, Steve Post, Motor Racing Network. You have a practice session coming up. What are you looking for? What do you want to, at the end of that practice session, what do you want to feel in your car? What are you looking for in this practice session? What would make it a good session?
Yeah, I guess I'd multiple things. Kind of the main thing for me that I look for, as far as my race setup is versatility. All right, how can I run the fence properly, but can I also move down off of it and run the middle well? And if the racetrack is kind of gets a lot of rubber on it, can I start making the bottom of 3 and 4 work? And what do I need in my car to do that? So versatility here is something big. I mean, what I just said earlier, you know, I would say the fastest lane mostly is around the top, but right, if everyone's running up there, you got to be able to move around. So I just try to figure out what do I need in my car to be okay on the top, and I'll try to make speed with it there if I'm in clean air, but then I need to be able to pull down the racetrack and cross seams and stuff like that. And then, you know, really it's like, all right, how does it fire off? Because then you kind of compare that to qualifying what you have next. So it's multiple thoughts in what you, you know, you want to go out there with and be thinking about. Whether it's overnight or in the, you know, the short time you have until you qualify. So versatility is probably the main thing I look for in my race car as far as lanes go when I kind of race practice here.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Bob.
Bob Hockris, Fox Sports. New Garden's going for three in a row in the 500. I don't think anybody's ever done that. But what is it about him that would make you think he could do it?
Man, I'll tell you, Joseph is a animal, man. He's been really, really neat to get to know over the years at Penske. He's one of the hardest working guys out there, one of the nicest guys ever. And he just kind of has that it factor, you know, and I don't know what it is, but it's just something about him, you know, that he just is, you know, just hardcore racer. And you know, they haven't had the best of starts to the year on that side, but I have no doubt in my mind he can go out there and win it. I think Scotty has a great chance to win it too. He's been really running strong there the last couple of years. But I think Joseph can do it. I think just the willingness to do stuff, like his pass last year around Award on the top end of three was just, I mean, it takes some guts to do that, you know? And I think, does he do that move if he hasn't won one yet? I don't know. You know, I think he's got like everything going for him now. He has all the confidence in the world to make those moves because he's done it there twice in a row. He knows what it takes to be up front at the end of those things. So I really think, I mean, he's just like getting more and more of a threat at that place as he wins more there because that confidence level goes up and just your knowledge of the right spots to put yourself in goes up. So I definitely think he could do it for sure.
Hey, Ryan, Jason with Motor Racing Network. How, you growing up, obviously, with the family and sharing Speedway, now that you are part of that tradition and that heritage there, it goes back to your grandfather and Lou and, of course, your dad and your uncle, too, as well. How important is it for you, A, to continue and be a part of that legacy, and what do you expect now as being a part owner of a racetrack?
Yeah, that was really exciting. I was happy to, finally, one, get that out there and finally get the deal done and signed. Dad's owned that place since 2002. Been a part owner with some great guys that he's known for a long time that were friends with him and my grandfather growing up. And then when it became time and opening, you know, kind of came to me, you know, I really jumped on the opportunity very quickly because I didn't know what would happen to the place if, you know, we didn't come in and, help Dad out and become a part owner. And I didn't want to see it go away because that place means a lot to my family. Dad grew up 5 miles down the road from that place, and I grew up there many times as a kid, of whether it was selling programs or answering phones. Even then, I didn't know what to say on the phone. I just answered it and handed it to my mom. But I always answered the phone. So I think we have some really neat things planned. It's always like, how do you keep up with the times, but also keeping your racetrack traditional? Dad and them, they have a great relationship with Dirt Vision at that place. So it's nice to have live streams of that racetrack. And, you know, it's how do you get more cars, obviously, right? How do you bring more people in, and how do you can increase purses? I feel like that's a really big thing, especially at the local track level, is how do you get the purses up for people to come want to race, you know, on a week-to-week basis? So that's kind of the top of my list right now, is like, how can we get the purses up? And then your car count's going to go up, and then your racing's going to get great, and then your people's going to come. So it's exciting. I never thought of myself being a track owner when I was a kid at all, but the opportunity was too good not to do it, and couldn't think of, honestly, I wouldn't own any other track around the world other than, you know, Sharon Speedway. So cool to be partners with Dad in it, and so we'll see where it goes. He's supposed to be racing up there with Dale this weekend, and we'll see if the weather clears up, but so it'll be a fun time.
Let's go to Steven and then Daniel.
Steven StumpFrontiers.com. I'm Ryan with the news that NASCAR is going to rotate the championship weekend every year. Are there any tracks in particular you want to see on it, and would Kansas be one of them?
Yeah, I think it was great that they announced that. I think that's the right way to do it. you know, whether it's every year, every 2 years, you know, whatever you want to do. I would say my, you know, that part of the year gets tricky. Like Kansas might be a little cold that time of year, snowy. I don't know how it is in November here, but I think like if you could rotate it between Miami, Phoenix, and like Vegas, I think would be another good track. Weather's good at all those three places that time of year. They draw great crowds. They're really good racetracks. I like how Ben shot down the Daytona finale idea. I think that was very smart of Ben. I think those are kind of my three tracks. I think Kansas would be a great place if the weather cooperated. But that's just too much of a kind of a toss up. But those three are my thoughts of kind of a rotational championship race.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Daniel McFadden, friendstretch.com. First, as a track co-owner, what will be your regular duties as a co-owner?
Write checks. I don't know. Isn't that what track owners do? I think number one, like it's always, right, what people do you have there? How is your staff, whether they're concessions, the track workers, the prep guys, how is that crew looking like? We have a great group of people there that's been there for a long time. Just trying to keep them straight. Another one really is what's the fan experience look like? They have to come there and have a good time as well as see a race, you know? So how do you make that, whether it's affordable to them to come out on the ticket side and the concession side? Neat things to do around the racetrack, right? Like these dirt tracks don't have a lot to do at them, right? Like you have these speedways and things like that. They're huge. You have, you know, hospitality areas and stuff like that, right? The local dirt tracks don't really have that. So how can you kind of make up plans of doing that? We've been brainstorming some stuff. And how do you put on good shows, right? And how do you make the Outlaws and the All-Stars and High Limits guys want to come out there for big races and big events? And, you know, the Lublanie Memorial is the big race that we have. And how do you draw even more cars to it? You know, how do you make it a race like, you know, the Brad Doty race or, you know, Kings Royal, something like that? How do you try to get it up into that echelon of races that are kind of prestigious? So yeah, there's a lot of different things. Forgive me, I'm a little new at it, but we're always brainstorming ideas. But those are kind of the top list is the fan experience, making it better for the competitor to come out, to afford to be able to come out and make sure the racing is good. So.
And Team Penske, you know, through the first nine races of the season, you only had three top fives, and now you get two wins and another top five with you. How important were these last two races for Team Penske at this point?
Yeah, I think our whole group is firing on all cylinders, you know, from the Wood Brothers and them getting a win early in Vegas. Joey and Austin winning the last couple weeks. We've been running really, really strong this year. I think it is nice that the work you put in the winter, you know, has kind of carried over to this year. And you know, we'd like to have won some more races, and I think we've been in a position to do that. It's just hadn't really played in our favor. But I think it just is a testament of the job that everyone does at our race shop there and preparation to kind of get ready, not only for this season, but week to week. So it's nice to start off the season strong. I think, you know, the last 2 years, it's kind of been a little bit of a grind the first third of the season to get where we want to be. So it's nice that that grind isn't there. You just hope that the grind doesn't come in the second half of the year when you're trying to make up speed. It's always nice to have it. Now you just have to try to make sure you keep it, which is equally as tough, I think, as getting it.
We'll take two final questions. We'll go to the back and then end on our left side.
Tim Moore, Motorsports Today. Ryan, you mentioned earlier the seams on the racetrack as the tracks continue to age. Where now do you feel currently they've become a bit more difficult on the track in particular?
Yeah. I think just seams year after year, they just get a little bit bigger and a little bit wider. And, it's definitely more treacherous kind of transitioning over them. I think it took a big jump last year. Like I remember I crossed some seams on exit last year in practice and about busted my butt. And I was like, oh man, I didn't really have this last year. But then you try to find a happy medium. Like if you're kind of splitting a seam all the way through the corner, you seem to be okay. But it's just that transition of kind of coming down off of them that seemed to be pretty big. So you just feel that out in practice and then try to figure out, hey, what do I need in my car to kind of make that a little bit better, because you know you're going to cross them in the race, like trying to race somebody and pass them. So yeah, it's always a big thing here when you have like these tracks that like Michigan's a big one. Here's a big one. You know, Charlotte's one that is just that's kind of the top of your list of how does my car get across the seam. So you hope you just do your homework enough to fight that.
And about 11 years ago, you made your debut here. Obviously, I know it didn't go the way you wanted, but does this track hold a special place in your heart? And also, I mean, considering you're one of the select few, what do you remember much about the day? Because there's not many. I think only Denny has the deepest experience other than you here at this track, and Austin Dillon as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a fun day. You know, we were in the blue 12 SKF car, and I was doing trucks that day too, that weekend. I was racing for Brad, and I think one thing I distinctly remember, we had truck practice on Friday, and then we jumped right into cup practice right after that. And I just remember going on the front stretch, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going like really, really fast in this cup car compared to this truck. And, you know, trucks here, you're wide open and pretty slow and sluggish. And cup car, especially back in 14, was you were probably 215 getting in the corner here. And that was just an eye-opening back-to-back, like A to B. And I've never done that before. And I was still kind of getting used to the mile and a halfs in trucks. I had a year under my belt, but I was still kind of getting there. So, that was a really cool experience. I worked with a lot of those people through the years at Team Penske and at the Wood Brothers. The race didn't end like we wanted to, but I just thought it was neat to get to race around these guys that, whether I enjoyed watching growing up, you know, were maybe a couple years older than me that kind of got there before I did. It was nice to be like, all right, now I'm finally getting to where I want to be, getting a shot at this with some guys that got a shot, you know, a year or two before me. And then getting to race, you know, with guys like Jeff and Jimmy and Kevin and Kyle and all those guys were just a cool experience because I loved watching those guys when I was, you know, 5 years prior when I was, you know, running late models. So, it's neat to be here. And yes, it does hold special meaning to me. I think all places where, you know, you get your first start, your first wins, like they're always pretty special to you. So I always like coming here for that reason.
We'll take our final question on the left.
Brian Mapes, Xfinity Racing. Ryan, you're one of the stars of NASCAR Full Speed that came out on Wednesday. Have you already binge watched all 5 episodes? And is it a nice reminder that you're Ryan effing Blaney? And would you be interested in a third season?
Yeah, my wife and I watched it when it came out. I think that night actually. And it's funny because there's some things that you don't remember about it. Like, oh wow, I can't believe that happened or we said that. And Gianna said a couple things. She's like, I don't remember saying that. And a little mortified a little bit, I think, of some things that the microphone caught. But no, I thought it was great. I thought they did a good job of kind of taking their time with this one, more time than they did last year of kind of waiting to put it out so they can refine some stuff. And it was cool for me personally having them around, kind of following us around for our title defense that year. And that was a fun journey with those folks over at Netflix. And I thought they did a good job. And yes, is my answer to season 3. I hope everyone likes it enough. And I hope Netflix gets enough of a response from it again to warrant a season 3. Because I think people really enjoy the inside look of the teams and the drivers and their significant others and the toll that it takes. On a week-to-week basis and the highs and the lows of the sport. I think people can relate to that in their own way, you know, of how people, you know, celebrate the good times or deal with the rough times. You know, I think it's all about the relatability side because the fan watching, they can't relate to driving race cars because they don't get the chance to do it. But if you can relate to the person, I think people can really kind of latch on to you. And then latch on to the sport as well. So I hope they bring it back. I really do. I enjoyed filming with those folks, and they're very respectful of us, but also were wanted to capture all that they could. So that was a fun time. I hope everyone liked it.
All right, Ryan. Well, thanks for spending so much time with us.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks.